Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, and is also July 4th, Independence Day. The scripture lessons are from Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Psalm 123, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Today's message is titled, Heaven Rescued Land. Let us hear from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. And he spoke. The Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Here ends our first reading from Scripture, Psalm 123, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. Here ends the second lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the sixth chapter, beginning at the first verse. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love, and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Setting safely in my basement is a very special American flag. An American flag carefully folded in the respectful form of a triangle with only the field of blue along with the stars showing. The flag awaits me to craft a display case for it to rest and remain in for the generations to come. To stay in the case, folded as it is. In my basement are boards of wood well seasoned, boards of cherry and mahogany along with some oak too, boards that have seasoned over 40 years, waiting for that special project to build. The special project will be the flag display case. A display case with those 22.5 degree angles on the miter bottom corners that will fit perfectly the folded flag's corners. That folded American flag was on my father's casket when we had a private viewing last September. An American flag in honor of my dad's nearly 28 years of military service in the United States Air Force. That same flag was folded and given to me a few weeks later along with my dad's urn with his ashes to bring to Decorah for his memorial service. In that little country church of his teenage years where his father, my grandfather, served as pastor for many years, the memorial service would take place. My grandfather's picture hangs along with the pictures of the pastors of the congregations through the years. In that little country church, placing the flag on one easel, and a picture of my dad on another easel, together flanking the table where the urn is set in preparation for the memorial service. The memorial service I had the privilege, yes, the privilege, to preside. At the conclusion of the service, I carefully retrieved the folded flag along with my father's urn for the trip to the cemetery where he would be placed next to my mother in the ground. At the cemetery, already waiting, was an honor guard. Waiting in dignified diligence in honor of my dad, who had served this nation. An honor guard that arose at the crack of dawn to drive over 300 miles, over 5 hours, to be present in honor at this moment. All the way from Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, the two-person Air Force honor guard drove, and now they snapped to attention as we arrived. Into one set of hands was placed the urn, and in the other set of hands, the folded American flag. In respectful attention, they stood as I conducted the committal graveside portion of the service. When the moment came, I received the urn back, my father's urn back, and I knelt down on one knee and reached deep down into the prepared place, placing his urn with his ashes deep in the ground. With a few more words and prayer and blessing, the committal service concluded, and I stepped back and I stepped aside, for all the attention is now turned to the honor guard. The two snapped to attention, carefully, with precision and great respect, full of honor and dignity. They slowly and attentively unfolded the American flag, unfolded it to its full 9.5-foot length and 5-foot width. The two honor guards stood there holding the flag over my parents' grave. My cousin took a picture of that moment that brings tears to my eyes. Then slowly and with solemnity, the flag was prepared for folding. Fold after fold followed, straightening and tightening as another fold is made, till the final triangle shape was formed, all field of blue with the stars showing. Then held with great care and dignity, the corners were straightened and set. as the senior honor guard member held the folded flag with reverence. The other honor guard steps aside, picks up the bugle, and begins taps. Taps, with its 24 notes, those mesmerizing, mournful tones echoing through the cemetery. At last, the echo of taps has fallen off into silence. Slowly, the lead honor guard approaches my brother Alan, speaking these words. On behalf of the President of the United States, the United States Air Force, and a grateful nation, please accept this flag as a symbol of our appreciation of your loved one's honorable and faithful service. The American flag is then presented to my brother Alan as the oldest. Also sitting in my home, in a curio cabinet, is a field service communion set. A candlestick, a glass flask for wine, a long round cylinder for communion wafers, a paten, a chalice, and a cross. These were my grandfather's field communion kit as he served in the United States Army Air Corps during World War II. Oftentimes they would be set up on a Jeep's hood for worship service at the front. Many times he flew in a B-25, you know, that same type of plane that flies overhead with those rotary engines, unmistakable sound, it flies out of Urbana. Oftentimes he would fly in a B-25 that would fly on the deck to avoid radar. So low flying on the deck, the tips of the propellers would occasionally hit the tops of waves as they crossed the waters. Unknown how many men received their last communion with this communion set. Last communion as they laid down their lives for freedom. The two summers I was at Stafford Boy Scout Camp, I loved to play the bugle, especially for the raising of the American flag in the morning and the retiring of the flag in the evening. Then some nights the sound of taps oftentimes echoed, and that is beyond compare. The end of August, 1814. With the victory over Bladensburg and the burning of Washington, D.C., the British set their sights northward towards Baltimore, Maryland, the major port city on the Chesapeake, a far more strategic target, as Baltimore was a thriving port, a center of commerce. Add Baltimore to the loss of Washington, D.C., and the Americans would fall. Standing in the way was Fort McHenry at the mouth of the inner harbor. With the British land force outnumbered and at a standstill outside of Baltimore, naval support is crucial for taking Baltimore. In the early morning of September 13th, the British unleash their roaring cannonades and the bombardment commences. The shallow water keeps the heavy warships at a distance, so bomb vessels that fire at high angles, exploding mortar shells along with the newly invented Congreve rockets, with their rockets' red glare, rained down over Fort McHenry. For the next 27 hours in driving rain, the fort is hammered. More than 1,500 ordnances cascade down on the fort, doing little damage as the rain-soaked ground swallowed up most of the fallen cannonballs and shells. The morning of September 14th, the battered storm flag was lowered, and the large 30-foot by 42-foot garrison flag was raised by the order of Major Armistead. The flag raised each morning at Reveille, a flag that could be seen for miles, still waved. The American flag, that star-spangled banner, still waved over Fort McHenry. Heaven has rescued the land. The land, the power of heaven that hath made this land, hath now preserved this land. Yes, the mighty hand of the Lord God provided the torrential rain, so that soaked the ground, so soddenly soaked of the fort that the shells and the cannonballs that would have wrought terrible devastation and destruction were simply swallowed up in the mud. Travel back in time to when you were a child, Remember how this nation was one nation under God. Remember how the Christian ethos of right and wrong was part and parcel of all that transpired across the land. Remember the size of your classroom as a child. Were there any problems as of today? Was not scholarship across the board much more accomplished then too? Remember starting first grade unable to read was the norm, and by the end of first grade, everyone was a proficient reader. The 123rd Psalm was a psalm sung by pilgrims as they head up to Jerusalem at times of feast, heading to Jerusalem to meet the Lord God in worship and praise, singing, "So our eyes look heavenward, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till He shows us mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us." With eyes lifted to the one who dwells in heaven, numerous times our Continental Congress called for fasting and prayer. In Congress, Saturday, March 16, 1776, quoting, "With true penitence of heart and the most reverent devotion, publicly to acknowledge the overruling providence of God, to confess and deplore our offenses against Him, and to supplicate His interposition for averting the threatened danger and prospering our strenuous effort in the cause of freedom, virtue, and posterity," a little farther down, "do earnestly recommend that Friday, the 17th day of May next, be observed by the said colonies as a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that we may with united hearts confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgression, and by a sincere repentance and amendment of life, appease His righteous displeasure. And through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, obtain His pardon and forgiveness. Earnestly beseeching blessing on civil rulers and representatives of the people, give wisdom." It gave the wisdom for establishing the rights of America. Continuing on, "Grant that a spirit of incorruptible patriotism and of pure, undefiled religion may universally prevail, and that this continent be speedily restored to the blessings of peace and liberty, and enabled to transmit them inviolable to the latest posterity, and is recommended to Christians of all denominations to assemble for public worship and abstain from servile labor on the said day." On the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, this proclamation for prayer was called upon. Undefiled religion, meaning the Christian faith, all Christians of all denominations assemble, beseeching mercy from heaven. In 1774, with the prospect of the greatest military power in the world, the greatest army being sent on their way to force them into submission, the delegates turned to the Lord God. Submitting to God, is this not what Psalm 123, portion of verse 2, describes? "So our eyes look to the Lord our God, till He shows us mercy." Then on their knees in prayer began the deliberation that would eventually lead to declaring independence. As all looked to heaven and to the Lord God of heaven, this newborn nation looked to heaven. And those newborn nation looking to heaven, it is written in the words of the Declaration of Independence. References to the Lord God are replete, are abounding in the words of the Declaration of Independence. "The hand of the Lord was in the founding. Never before has been written that the power of the governed comes from the consent of the governed. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Freedom flowing from the Scriptures. Freedom that could flow only from the Christian faith. For if Christ has set you free, you are free indeed." The freedom found here in this land is found in no other place. No other nation on earth. Freedom declared with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. And through the annals of history, what land has been so generous, so kind, so gracious to other lands in time of need, in time of tragedies, seeking to bring freedom to those lands too? Am I worshiping the American flag? Yeah. Am I worshiping this nation? No, not at all. I am acknowledging the hand of Almighty God that has brought forth this land. I worship the sovereignty and providence of the one true God that brought forth this land, enabled the Continental Army to pass through Valley Forge and defeat the mightiest army, the mightiest navy, the navy on the east and the army on the east, and the armies the British raised on the frontier, fighting that it was in this area that we now live, took place too during the Revolution. The hand of the Lord delivering once again during the War of 1812. Patriotism is compatible with the Christian faith. For we know the Lord God who has been so good and gracious in giving us this land to live in and to gather in worship in freedom. A land where the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached and proclaimed to bring mercy and grace to the broken and hurting hearts and lost souls. Yet, forces of deconstruction and revisionism through indoctrination are pushing through falsehoods with narratives that are outright lies to bring forgetfulness of our true roots. And who is the author of lies? The devil. Francis Scott Key recognized that this land is a heaven-rescued land, as he penned his words. Others recognized the truth found in Key's words, that if the Star-Spangled Banner had fallen, our nation, our freedom, would have fallen. Stanza 2 of the Star-Spangled Banner carries the angst of the moment. What will the early morning light reveal? As this message today, filled with life stories more than Bible study, is most likely different than you were expecting, may these words bring to your mind and your memories of your past. Your memories from your childhood. As the disciples went out taking nothing for the journey to bring freedom in Christ, many a continental soldier set forth taking nothing for the journey to bring freedom. Oftentimes without shoes, in the midst of winter, and suffering great deprivation for the cause of freedom. Your freedom. The Star-Spangled Banner, verse 4. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, for our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Him, God of our fathers, verse 2. Your love divine has led us in the past. In this free land, by you our lot is cast. Oh, be our ruler, guardian, guide, and stay. Your word our law, your paths our chosen way. My country, 'tis of thee. Verse 4, our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. As the cross of Christ reminds me of Christ's redeeming sacrifice, purchased with his own blood salvation and freedom in him, Christ the Lord. The flag, the Star-Spangled Banner, Reminds me of the sacrifices of the many with their own blood through the years has purchased freedom. Freedom given to us by the author of liberty, the Lord God Almighty. And I fall to my knees in worship and in prayer. For indeed we have been, we are, and I pray we will always be a heaven-rescued land. Amen. And amen.